like that.
So
we're jumping a little bit to Lama Gimel Beis, right? Lama Gimel Beis, Yibay Elohu, Benovahu Rabba, right? Okay. So Yibay Elohu, Benovahu Rabba, Maru Lama Bnei Abba. So if you have a son who is the rabbi, so this he has to stand in front of his father. Okay? Fine. So is there Rashi? No, right? Okay, fine. Ibnu Rabba, Ben Rabba Shalab. So he explains the case. The son is the father, is the rabbi. Okay. So it says Tashma. Damar Lai Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina Kol Mikam Yevuch. Says no, Sharpon, stand before your father. Okay. So it seems to be that he does have to. Okay. So there's no Shani Chazil Lamais Mali. Tashim Hashmuel Nami Kana Kana. No, really, you don't have to stand for your father. Okay. A regular son who's the rabbi doesn't stand for his father. But this father was an extraordinary father. So much so you see even Shmuel stood for him. He's Baal Maizam. Right? Okay. Right. And therefore, like the Ramban said, so therefore you see it's not Ein Lefi Kvoda. And this is a Zakein, really. But that's like the Ramban learned, that he was a Zakein. And since he's Baal Maizam, so the father was, or Shmuel was standing for him because he was a Zakein. Right? I was saying Shmuel's name was Zaken, but Shmuel can't stand for the ordinary Zaken, but this is a special Zaken, who it is Lufik Vodo, because he was, Baal Maizim. He's Baal Maizim. Fine. So, but the point is that the fact that an ordinary son, that this son had to stand for his father, can't prove to you in general if the father is not a Baal Maizim, if the father is, let's say, an ignoramus. So now should the son stand firm? You don't know. You can't just tell me from the story is not an ordinary case. Okay? So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that he wasn't really standing for him, that really he's such a guy that even Shmuel has to stand for him, right? So then Ella, Mike, Amarlai, well, what's he telling him? He says, he says, stand for your father. We need to stand for your father. Even I'm standing. Everyone's standing. He's an old guy. He's a Baal Maizim. Everyone has to stand for him. So from the nature of the statement, it sounds like he's rebuking him for not standing for his father. And he should be standing for him because of father. Not just like a general halacha that everyone in the world is standing for him because he's an old guy. He was a fik photo. Right? You know, like Rashi. He says, let's see Rashi. Says, even though he's a father, he's a rep. In other words, this is interesting. Rashi is learning. He says, what does it say, my kamarlai? He says, what do you have to warn him? Right? What do you have to warn him? If you're telling me that he was such a gadol, or he was a Baal Maizim, and even Shmuel stood for him, so what does he have to? Why is he rebuking him? Why is he telling him that? What is he saying? Right? What does he have to warn him? I mean, everyone has a stance for him. What does he tell, you know? But it must be he's telling him, stand for your father, not because he happens to also be a Baal Maizim and he's an old guy, and you know, but he's teaching him halacha in general. Right? In other words, he must be teaching him halacha in general. Right? Well, that's what he's saying. It must be that's the deal to be made. Because otherwise, if it's just the general halacha, he's standing for him because he's old and he's a Baal Maizim, so then don't. What's Shmuel telling him? I mean, everyone stands for him. Just everyone standing for him, right? And even Shmuel standing for him. But it must be that he's telling him, "Kum mikamei avuch," stand for your father because he's teaching him halacha. You have to stand for your father anyways. Now it happens to be he's Baal Maizim and all that, and therefore he'd stand for him anyways. But he wants to teach him halacha that the avicha itself is mechayev him, even if he weren't all this fancy stuff. Right? So therefore, that seems to indicate, so Nazariah again. So Nazariah again, that the son does have to stand for his father. Right? Right? Because otherwise, well, you can't just tell me because he was Baal Maizim. So my answer is no. Halki kamalai. Zimnim da asi me achorei. Kum at mi kamei v'lotech shekar didi. She says, it's at times, here Rashi. There's no Rashi, right? No. He says it means sometimes I'm going to come like behind him. And basically the halacha is that you're not mechabed, you can't be mechabed a Talmud in Makam Rav. That's halacha. Okay? You can't be mechabed a Talmud in the place of Rav. So the saying is that since Shmuel was really like the Gadol, So you could say is that it's not covered for Shmuel to stand up in front of a Rebbe Chatzka, even though he's his father, even though he's a Ma'asim. Apparently still, it's not right to stand in front of Shmuel. Shmuel's the big gun. And it's not covered for Shmuel to stand for a friend. Okay? So that's what Shmuel's telling him, is no, stand for your father. Whereas he's being muffled his cover, basically. He's saying, don't worry about my cover. Even if I'm there, stand for your father. I mean, so there's a point to his statement. See, if it was just a general halacha telling him to stand, of course he'd stand, everyone has to stand. But he's saying, no, really, he's standing because, not because he's any father, but really it's because of the special nature of this guy, Baal Ma'asim. But why is Shmuel telling him this? It's obvious he has to stand for his father. No, it's not obvious. Because since when Shmuel is present, you'd say he wouldn't have to stand for him. So as Shmuel is saying, he's saying, no, I defer to him. I defer to him. So you could stand for him. Right? You could stand for him. Okay, so that's how he's working the pshat. Okay, so that's the pshat. Okay, that's the pshat of the deal. But the question is, what's the levaya, right? And so at the end of the day, what's that at the end of the day? At the end of the day, it's not resolved, really, right? Right, it's at the end of the day, you don't know. Because they try to bring a raya from this case of Shmuel. And it says, no, you can't bring it because of Baal Ma'asim. It says Baal Ma'asim, then what's he saying? No, really, he says you can't bring it. Right. It could be because of Baal Ma'asim. So it could be that really regular son, same for his father, you don't know. Definitely if the father's Baal Ma'asim in this case, then you do. But in the regular case, you just don't know. So you don't know whether an ordinary son is Mechliyev, a Rebbe's son is Mechliyev to stand for his father who is his Talmud. You don't know. That's the Abaya. That's the Abaya of the Gemara. Yeah, the Ron takes up why the Ron paskins that way.
Oh, okay.
Has it. By the way, the Ron has an interesting point. He says, because halacha is you're not allowed to be cholek kavod to a Talmud in the place of a Rav, unless the Rav himself is cholek kavod to him. If the Rav himself honors him, then it's not, you can't say it's a lack. So guess it's a lack of his kavod to the bigger Rav to stand up for the smaller Rav, because he's his Talmud. So when you mechabed the Talmud, you're going to have a Talmud, it's like a bush. But if the Rav himself is mechabed, and he's mochel, and he's kavod, he's mechabed, so you don't say it's like a bush tam, because you see the Rav himself is deferring to him. So the thing is, that's what I'm saying, is that Shmuel, he says Shmuel, you see, he even stood up for Rav Chazkel, father. So as I was saying, is don't worry about my kavod, you can stand up for your father, because even I defer to him. Okay. But he does get into it, he says, why does Rav and Paskin in this split way? So Rav's Pasak is that you stand up for the son stands for the father, but not the father for the son, right?
Right.
Right. Not even though the Gemara, our Gemara doesn't really answer. It doesn't seem to have a resolution. But I think it says because of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to pass in that way. Maybe I'll check it when you guys think. So basically, what's our question? The question is, what's the Svara? I mean, why would you say that a son who's the Rebbe should stand up for his father, or why would he say he should not stand up for his father? Right? Again, the father is the Talmud and the son is the Rebbe. Right? Why would he say he should stand up? Why would he say he should not stand up? Okay? Now let's learn like the Ron. I think there's two different ways to learn here. Like the Ron made this whole thing is like because they're both chayiv and kavod to each other, so he had the whole thing and maybe they'll cancel each other out. That's the Ron's way of learning. Okay? Which is the way to learn. But I don't know, maybe we could. I don't know if you guys want to, you could pursue that, but maybe we could do that also. Which one you want to do first? But I think the simpler way to go is like the Ron in a certain sense makes them even like the same question. It would seem, you know, he's saying they're equal. Do they cancel out or not? You know, like it seems like you just take the question in its own right. Is do you stand up for your father when he's if you're his rabbi? You know what I mean? I mean, it's a good question. You could go with that logic. You could go with that logic. I mean, that's the question. You have to come up with a reason. Why? On the surface, what would you say? The son does or doesn't stand up?
Yes.
Yeah, on the surface, you say, yeah, because this is a minister of Kibbutz Avayim. Kibbutz Avayim says he has to stand up for your father. So, wait, tell me, well, I'm his rabbi. Okay, no. So what? He cares about his rabbi. Something to do with that. But the bottom line is, it's a minister of Kibbutz Avayim. Kibbutz Avayim says you have to stand up for your father. So, who cares that I have to do his rabbi? Right? I mean, how is that going to take away from the fact that I'm afraid to stand up from. Right? So it's funny, the Rosh says, it's funny, the Rosh says, really, speak the rice of Chumran, therefore they stand for each other. That's his resolution. Stands for each other. But he says, then he says, Rav Meir Rutenberg, I guess because he's Masupak, he says, from the day he became the Gadol, he says he didn't go to greet his father, and he didn't want his father to come to him.
Wow.
Because apparently there was Masupak, he wasn't sure who should be Mechabedo. So I guess they were, who was to be Mochal, I guess they don't even know, but, you know. Maybe they had a deal that they should Mochal each other, you know. I don't know, it's amazing, right? It's like a different kind of guy, you know? And presumably his father went along with that. Well, see, I don't know if it means he didn't, it's not clear if it means he didn't see him because he didn't know about standing, or saying he didn't go to Hakbil Panay. You know, there's like the phenomenon of like going to be Makbil Panay Panav, you know what I mean? Like of greeting him, going out to greet him, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe that's like a din of Maisav Kavod, so he didn't do that. I guess it means he never saw him. I'm not sure. I mean, he saw him. He saw each other when you both standing out. Yeah. Each other. I don't know if it means he never ever saw him. So he wasn't Marko Panov. There's an idea of being Marko Panov. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's something to look into. Yeah, but our question is, so why would he say that the father shouldn't stand up, that the son shouldn't stand up? Why would he say the son shouldn't stand up for the father? That is a good question. Like, there is a question lurking in the sugya, which I don't know the answer, huh? But maybe we'll figure it out. But like, is this a question about Kibud Av in general, or about a Rav in general, or is this just a question of standing up? I mean, like, it's not clear. I mean, they're asking about standing up, but presumably you could have all these same questions about just the general Kavod, right? I mean, the only thing you could argue is that, you know, like, let's say Kavod means you get him a drink. So what are you going to say? The father has to get the son a drink. The son has to give the father a drink. I mean, it can't be they both get each other drinks. Right? I mean, we'll end up going in an infinite circle of getting drinks, you know, isn't that? So, I mean, with standing, you can say they both stand for each other. No, that's a good question. Right. I mean, it would seem that if you don't, if you say that he shouldn't, that he doesn't have to, it would seem he should, right? He shouldn't, right? And that's true. That's it from Rav Rundberg. But it makes sense. They say there's no chiv, then he's saying for the reason why you're not chiv is because he's a rabbi. So then you can't just, the rabbi doesn't say we're stomach, that's why he shouldn't. That's not. But what's the, before we get to defining the machlokas, I mean, what's the simple argument of why it is that the son shouldn't stand? Why shouldn't the son stand for the father?
Because they're for stomach.
Right. Right, like remember before he even had this, and I think this could fit in with the Ramban, is that remember he said that he stand up for a zakin. Right, even though he don't stand for Talmud Chacham, he stands up for a Zakin, right? But he says he can't stand up, but Talmud Chacham can't stand up for a fool. It just can't happen. It's enough for that, you know? It's an idea. It's not a big cover for Talmud. Even though there's a mitzvah of standing up for a Zakin, for an old guy, Talmud Chacham can't do it. Because it simply can't happen. Can't have a Talmud Chacham sworn himself to a fool. Right? So you could argue, is that how could it be that a Talmud is going to stand for his Rebbe, a Rebbe will stand for his Talmud? How could it be? It just can't be. He can't, it's not a Fikvoda. So it's very nice that he's his father, but if you look at who these people are, I mean, here you have the Rebbe standing for his Talmud. So he can't be. He can't do that. I mean, that would probably be the argument. Now, the Machlokas is, do you say the fact that he's his father, so to speak, allows for it, and there's Machayev in it, or do you say the fact that it's Enel Fikvoda prevents it? Right, I mean, that's the way to define it. But, you know, what's the argument? Why would he say one or the other, you know?
Well, how could he stand, right? I mean,
it's a good point. So now the Kasha goes back to how could he stand? Because, I mean, after all, how could Rav stand for Talmud? Right? And that's a principle. You can't have a Talmud, a greater person, stand for a lesser person. So how could, why don't you say it's Ein Tikvoda? So why what's the logic to say that he could or he should stand? Yeah, but just to make the point is that you see that according to the Rambam, the way the Rambam says that even if you want to stand for a Zakein, if a Talmud wants to stand for an old guy, you're not standing for him because he's an ignoramus, you're standing for him because he's a Zakein, because he's old. And still, he says he can't do it, because you're a Talmud Chacham and you can't do it. Talmud Chacham can't stand for a Tein Olfikvoda. So why is that different than by a father? Say, I'm not standing for him because he's an ignoramus or because he's my Talmud. I'm standing for him because he's my father. But it should still be disallowed. Because bottom line is, it should be Ein Olfikvoda. I don't care why you're standing for him, but the point is that you can't stand for him. So why would you say that by a father he could stand, but by a zaken and three quarters, by a zaken he cannot stand? Yeah? Okay, I mean, I'm saying a line along your lines, Gary, but a little. I just want to answer the question also. Is that the remembers? I think this is relevant. Okay, maybe. It's like, remember we had a question about whether he stands for your father if he's a rasha. Oh, it's a machlokas, really. The machlokas and Roshana. Okay, the Ram held you there. The Tosus held you there. Okay. So, the question was, how can he stand for a rasha? He's a rasha. Right? So, we said for the Rambam that you're not really standing for the Gavra. Like Mr. Smith, we call him. Mr. Jones. You're not standing for him, but you're standing for the Shema. There's the Shema. You're standing for Av. You're not standing for who he is. You're standing for the Shema'af. Okay? He embodies a shame. He has a call of Shema'af. Or the other argument would be, no, you're standing for him, Mr. Jones, because he is a father. But you're standing for him. So if it's Pshat, you're standing for him, Mr. Jones, because he's a father. But if he's a Rasha, you can't stand for him. You can't stand for Mr. Jones. He's a Rasha. So I, because he's a father, yeah, that won't offset his rishos. But if you're standing for the Shema'af, so then you could give me a rasha. I don't care. It's not because of who he is. I don't care about his midos and who he. I don't care anything about him. I just care about his shema. He embodies shemayim. He's av. The institution of av. I'm saying for. Remember that. Right, okay. So let's go with that. Let's learn that way. That it's because of the shema. He's standing for the shema. Okay. So if that's the case, then in this instance, right? So you have the Zakin, you have the father, the son standing for the father, and the son is the rabbi, and the father is the Talmud. So you'll argue, on the one hand, you'll say it's not right, and it'll be kvodo. So not it'll be kvodo for the rabbi, the Talmud Chacham, to stand for the Talmud, for the guy who's not a rabbi. Okay? But on the other hand, that's if you look at it like you say, this Gavra standing for that guy. If you look at it like in terms of who the people are, this person is not shy to stand for that other person, because the people are on different levels and you can't have lower standing for higher. If you have higher standing for lower. But he says, but if you look at it like conceptually, the nature of the activity is that it's av for ben for av, so the ben standing for the av, right? So then you'll say it is a people though. It's not. You don't look at it like it's a fool standing, a chacham standing for a fool. But you look at it as a ben standing for an av. He's standing for his for aviv. Okay. So if you look at it in like from the halachic perspective, so you get the conceptual nature of the activity, you don't say it's a break in the fikvoda. So that's the question. Is it a break of Eilfi Kvoda? Do you say it's Eilfi Kvoda? Do you measure Eilfi Kvoda of the Talmud Chacham by the practical character, like the social character of the action? It's where it's the Gavi. You have one person, a higher person, and a standing for a lower person. But do you measure it by the conceptual nature of the activity? The conceptual identity of the thing is that it's Ben Farah. Okay? But by the Zakin, I don't think then he says some shot is he standing for him because he's a zaken. It's for the gavra, Mr. Jones. You know what I mean? Right? Or it would seem like we don't stand for, presumably, you don't stand for zaken. Oh, this question is like a shemayim again. But let's say you say you're not standing for, let's say we hold you don't stand for Russia. If he's not, if it's Russia, you don't stand for. So what you're saying is that really you're standing for the guy. For that guy, because he's a Zakin. Oh, so that guy, it's true you're doing it because he's a Zakin, but the action halachically is an action of standing for this guy. Well, this guy is an Enofik Voda. Alright? Like, what gets around it is not just that the reason you're doing it is because of the mitzvah, because of the Shem Zakin, but is that halachically it really is a Ben standing for an Av. It's not Mr. Kid standing for Mr. Jones, you know? Because of the mitzvah. But halachically, that is the character of the action. It's the ben for the av. So the same for the chalo shema, the abstract shema. You know what I mean? So then you'd say it's not a break in the fikvot, you know? I mean, you could have learned. I mean, that's a be a funny way to learn this Chakira, but like, if that were a machlokas, you know, that, well, it would seem if you learn that you really, it is the you stand for Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones, then it would seem that you would say that should be a problem, you know. So in theory, that could be the, you know, but I just don't think the machlokas are showing me as the bias. So I'm just picking the, learn like the Rambam. Learn the Rambam that really is a Shema. And it's a Shema, we stand for the Shema. That's why even for Russia. The question is that a break with Pikvoda? Do you measure the Lefikvoda by who the people are, like practically, or do you measure them by the conceptual nature of the action? Do you look at like the descriptive nature of the action, like this person for that person, or do you look at it based upon like the halachic conceptual identity of the action, which is a ben farnav? In which case, it wouldn't be in Lefikvoda. Yeah, I'll tell you why. See, if you look at it in like the descriptive nature of the action, so the guy goes, so why do you say descriptively it's a ben for an av? You see, but I said the descriptive nature of the action is, see, a ben and an av are like relatives. A chacham and the fool are what these people are. You know, I mean, it's not covered for a chacham to stand for an ignoramus. Like, ben and av are like halach, are relationships, they're relatives. They're not, because the intrinsic nature of the action, maybe that's a better look at it. The intrinsic nature of the action is gavra A standing for gavra B. Now, what kind of gavra is gavra A? He's done a chacham. What kind of gavra is gavra B? It's a fool. Okay? Like, the fact that they have a relationship between them is not the intrinsic character of the action. The intrinsic character of the action is a great guy supporting himself to a lesser guy. You know, I mean, that's the intrinsic thing is, who are they? What type of people are they? That's the primary identity of the action. But then you can look at it in terms of, like, the halacha takes, even though he is a chacham, he's a wise guy, and he's a, you know, he's a fool, halacha says, it's like the conceptual identity of Ben and Av overpowers the practical identity of like what their essence are, what their essence is. And in the halachic world, the characteristic of Ben and Av become primary in this standing. And the halacha doesn't view it in terms of its intrinsic nature of the action, but it looks at it in terms of the accidental properties, so to speak, of Ben and Av, which are mechayit. I mean, so now do you measure the fikvodo in like objective terms? In objective terms, it's a chacham can't stand for a fool, right? Or do you measure it by, you don't say by objective terms, that's if the standing is just an objective standing, but this is a standing of the halachic reality, and if that halachic reality calls it a standing of a ben for an av, it takes the property of ben and the property of av and makes them primary, raises them to the primary significance and ignores the fact that he is this person and that person, then I'll say that's not a break of the fikvodo. Alright? So if you like look at it, measure if you go by the intrinsic nature of the action, or when that action becomes part of a halachic world, you like to replace it by that halachic identification of the action. Alright?
Right.
See, it's like, see, if you say ben and av, this is the point, is that the what the kimo is like it's a the gavras. There's a fool and a wise guy. There's a fool and a chacham. That's the intrinsic, their intrinsic identities. Now, if you say that by that he stands for your father who is a Rasha, so it means that when it comes to the mitzvah of Kibra Avayim, the individuals lose their identities, and they simply become like figureheads, Ben Av, and it's Ben standing for Av. So their personal identities become irrelevant, and you don't look at that's not the action anymore. It's no longer Mr. Kid standing for Mr. Father. It's Ben standing for Ava. So now you'll say, is it Lefi Kvodo? What do you mean? It's not to do with it. It's not Kvodo. Is we talking about the people as individuals? But here you're talking about the action is an action of Ben for Av. So it doesn't it like kind of blunt. It's blind to the nature of their personalities, because that's the nature of the institution. But you don't say that by a Zakin, and Zakin isn't blind to the. That's not. This is all within the Ram Svara that you can even do by a Rasha. So even by a Rasha means it's nothing to do with who they are. So the halachic definition of this action is not Mr. You know, kid for father. It's Ben for Av. But the intrinsic definition of the action, if you just look at the action in a vacuum, like. Forget why it's in the reason why he's doing it in the halachic context which it finds itself. It's objectively an action of a fool, of a chacham standing for a fool. And that's a context of path that takes away from the big father. So it just does the halachic definition of the action of Ben for Av allow you to, so to speak, sidestep the problem of the big father? where you say that's true, that's how halachic definition of the thing vis-a-vis Nesuki Rav Ayim, but objectively it's still a Zayvanvig Vona. Where you say no, that halachic identity of that it's action as an action of Kibra Vayim could, so to speak, could grab a hold of the action and like redefine it, and now you won't say it's Ain't No Big Father. Alright? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's very interesting. And it really is totally in that Ramah that you couldn't say without that spot. Otherwise, you'd say, if you just learn that it's a father standing, it's a father standing for the son because he's the father, you know, because he's the father. So the son standing for the father because he's the father. But then the action is a lower guy standing for a higher guy. Or a higher guy standing for a lower guy, which isn't going to be possible. It would be like the Zake. It's because of the mitzvah, who cares? Because. But Allah said, it's Ein Lefik Vodo. The only way you can say Ein Lefik Vodo is if you could kind of make them personality-less, by taking away the people and making it an objective thing. You could argue that would remove the problem of Ein Lefik Vodo. I mean, well, I think we'll get back to the Ran. So let's do the next one. I mean, we're not doing the Ran. The Ran, I think, runs differently. But then the Gemara asks the other way, right? It says Tashma. Right. I'm sorry, not Tashma. So what about the other Kuwait? Does the father stand for the... Oh, by the way, I just wanted to bring a raya. When the Ram says it's halacha, I mean, you could argue it's not 100% raya, but I think it's good. He says ve'av shayat talmud b'nau is halacha. Ein ha'av omen b'nei ha'ben, aval ben omen b'nei aviv. Av pishay talmida. So notice there would be two ways to say this halacha. That there's two reference points of defining these people. You could define them as Ben and Av, or you could define them as Talmud and Rav. So why does he say Ein Ha'av Omid Mnei Ben? He should say Ein Ha Talmud Omid Mnei HaRav. Right? Either be consistent, go with Talmud Rav, or say Ein Ha Talmud Omid Rav, because that's what you'd think. The Talmud should stand for the Rav, rather, but the Ben stands for the Father because of Kibbutz Avayim. Or something, you know what I mean? Like, what's... Why, when he describes the halacha, he's totally restricting himself to ben and av? I mean, but you could say it's because that's the nature of the activity. It's ben for av. I mean, it's ben for av, and it's that's why he could do it. He's not chacham it. Yeah, but it's ben for av. It's not smart guy for a stupid guy. It's ben for av. I mean, so the lashon is could be, that's why the Ram refers to them in the halacha as ben and av. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the Gemara is going by the other way. So what about, does the Rebbe have to stand for the right? Does the Talmud, the father, have to stand for the son, who's his Rebbe? Okay. You're right. Does the father stand? So it says Hashma. Again, we're going to define this. Essentially, that's our question. What's the svar? I mean, what's the svar now? Why would you say that he wouldn't? Right? And do you have Zakin and Ilfik Fodo now? I mean, like, why would you say? And as now you have Allah saying for your Rebbe. Now you're the father, okay? Like, what's the Ibaya now? Like, is it the same Ibaya? You know what I mean? Like, what's the question now? You have to, it's not necessarily the same thing. So it says, Toshma, Dam Rabbi Shoban Levi, Ani, Ini Kedai, Lamod, Mipnei, Benai. That really, I'm not kedai to stand for my son. Elo mishum for beis nasi. Rather, only because he's the kovah beis nasi. So in other words, he's really, the son was the nasi. Okay, Rashi. Is Rashi explaining it? It says, ani ani kedai elo mnei b'nai. It says, kesag dai tatav kama, ani rabo shal b'ni. Right? V'lo ha'isi kedai lama mipanav. In other words, my son's rabbi. Turned out he was really, this is the opposite case, he was really his son's rabbi. He says, now I can't stand for my son. But he married the Nasi's daughter, I guess. He's saying, I'm not kedai, it's not appropriate for me to stand for my son, because I'm his rabbi. But I'll do it anyways because he's a Nasi, because he married the Nasi, he's royalty. Okay. But the implication is time down now Rabbi. Are you Rabbi? Come in and become a. The implication is I, Rishon Levi, is this great Talmud. I'm not going to stand for my son. But it implies there is a kind of a guy who would be Kedai to stand for a son. Right? It would be Kedai to stand for a son, namely a normal father who is the Talmud of his son. Okay? So it says, no. So it's not right. It says, Hachikama. No. Ani, Eni Kedai Lama Rebenai. I feel who Rabbi, right? Even if you're my rabbi, In other words, I'm not kedai, not because I'm the rabbi, but simply because I'm a father, and a father is not kedai to stand for a son. And is this he's saying he's not kedai because he's the rabbi, or he's saying no, because simply father is not kedai to stand for son. Ela mishum kavod beis nasi, but I'm doing it because kavod beis nasi. Hachkam Rashi. Klomer ini kedai to kamer la mishum gedolas atorah. It's not because he's a great talmud chacham that he's saying it. Ela mim neishu aviv kamer. Deinav kedai lamor neaben. It's not kedai for a father to stand for a son. Okay. So the question is, that's the question of boils down to the Gemara. Is it kedai, whatever that means, is it kedai for a father to stand for a son? Do you say that's appropriate or not? And that's the Gemara Zibai. So we have to define that, okay? Now let's say, that's one thing to find, okay? Now I think maybe another thing we'll define is, let's try to take the Ran. See, because the Ran learned the Ibaya way back when. He was learning it, the way he was saying the Ibaya was that it's because they're equals. It's like, I have a chliyev, let's say in this case, the father has a chliyev to the son because he's a rabbi, the son has a chliyev to the father because he's a rabbi. They're equal, so therefore there's a clash. Therefore they knock each other out. Or do you say, no, they don't knock each other out? I mean, it seems like the way that was the Ran was learning the Abaya. Like when you have equals, are they a wash? Or do you say, no, they still have to stand?
They both stand for each other.
It would seem. I mean, it would seem so. It seems like you don't cancel each other out. Then maybe they both stand for each other. It would seem. I mean, the question is, according to the Ran, are they different? The Ran seemed to be learning the Chayin, if you remember the Ran, he's like, he sounded like he was equating the two Ibayas. Like, as if they were really the same exact Ibaya, just on both sides of the picture, you know? Like, when you have, like, mutual Chiyuvei Kavod, what happens? And this isn't the approach we're taking, right? We're not taking that, but we're taking the question is like, two separate questions. Like, those are the bad, at least, the first question, so we didn't define the second one yet, but the first one wasn't because, like, mutual Chiyuvei Kavod, it's intrinsic to the question of, son standing for his father, does that get around the problem of Zakamin Zvikvodo? I mean, that's one side of the question. Now, that's the question. There's another question. Is a son, Kadai, you know, to stand for his father, or you know? But, I mean, it seems like the Ran was learning it. It's like when he was setting it up, it's because you have equals. Like, do the equals, what happens when you have equal chiyuv, you know? What happens? Do they cancel, or is there... So I think maybe we should define that. And it's a question of Quentin, why there are two Ibayas. Like, are they the same Ibayas? I mean, it's something to think about. But, so we'll take those, I guess. We'll take those points, okay?